Our Bible reading is in John chapter 11, moving on to the 11th chapter in John's Gospel. So I hope that you'll turn with me to this section. John chapter 11, verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 27. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world.
Thank you. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We've just been reading the greatest miracle in the New Testament, the resurrection of Lazarus. The miracle, by the way, which got the Lord Jesus into the deepest trouble. From that time, after Lazarus showed himself to the people, they determined that they would kill him, that is, that they would put the Lord Jesus to death. And you can read the account there in John's Gospel that from there on, the Lord Jesus dared not go into Jerusalem except at the risk of his life. And he never stayed in Jerusalem overnight until the night of his arrest. And it was risky business to go near Jerusalem after Lazarus' resurrection. Such was the power of that miracle and the testimony of Lazarus that it spoke volumes. It was undeniable. All that the religious leaders could think of was to put our Lord Jesus to death. What depravity, what stupidity, and the Lord triumphed there in his midst. So stay tuned as we come to the message today of this resurrection of Lazarus. But firstly, we have a hymn. Stay tuned right through the program as today from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church, we let the Bible speak. So here we have a convincing miracle of the mighty power of the Lord. And what the Lord did for Lazarus, he can multiply on the resurrection day to raise up his people, the church, and bring and present them to God in glory. That's our Savior, and that's our gospel, and this is our glorious hope. And in all of the world, there's nothing like it. There's no gospel compared to the gospel of our Lord Jesus. We're also convinced here by the proofs of this resurrection miracle. Now, when people start to doubt and question and criticize these things, then we have to get down to the hard facts, the proofs of its reality. And you have here, firstly, in verse 14, the proofs that he was really dead. Lazarus was really dead because the Lord Jesus said it in verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He didn't deceive Martha and Mary. He didn't bring them false comfort and say, well, now, maybe there's some life yet in his body. No, he agreed with their take. Lazarus is dead. And then in verse 21, Martha said it, if thou hadst been here,
my brother had not died. And then in verse 32, Mary said it. When she was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. In verse 37, you will find that Mary and Martha's friends also said it. Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? So there was nobody there that ever tried to argue that Lazarus didn't really die. Everybody agreed with that. And this is great strong evidence, because this was not done in a quiet corner. This was done in public, in a community of people in Bethany, where everybody knew everybody. Everybody knew who Lazarus was. Everybody knew of the grief that had been caused for 4 days. They had attended the events that led to his burial. They had gone through all the motions of burial. And they didn't fake it. They didn't just stand there and weep out of some false game. No, he was really dead. And then there are the proofs of his resurrection, that he really rose again. In verse 45, you have the friends of Mary. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Here now is a proof for the reality of Lazarus' resurrection. This was not a one-minute wonder. This was a man returned to his family, his community. The friends are now believing on Jesus because they're convinced. And then the friends of the Pharisees in verse 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. And so they were all convinced. No one tried to play it down. No one tried to say this is fake. They were all convinced. And then much people, if you go over to chapter 12, verse 9, you will see how there was this report. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And so from every angle that you look at this, the enemies, the friends of the Lord, the family involved, and the enemies of the Lord, every one of them was totally convinced that this was a real miracle of Lazarus' resurrection. There is no illusion here, and his miracles so testify that more and more people were believing on him. Now, we know that it takes more faith to doubt the facts than it does take to believe the facts. And of course, that's the whole gospel of our Lord Jesus. It takes more ingenuity to deny the reality of Jesus, the supernatural Son of God, than it does to accept the account and believe on him. That's why we are happy to be Christians. That's why we're settled in our faith. The facts agree with our faith. We are not blind believers. We take the real history of a real man at a real time and the real miracles that he performed and said, this truly is Jesus, the Son of God. And all of these things are plowed into the very history and reality of our Lord Jesus. They are stamped into omniscience. Think of the Lord's prior statement that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. How did the Lord know that? Well, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's God. Then you have his omnipotence, his all-prevailing power. He was able to call a dead man out of the tomb and give unto him life. And then it's stamped with eternity, because Christ is the resurrection and the life. This is not just a singular event. The Lord is able to preach the gospel that when he returns, there is going to be a general resurrection. And that's our hope. And that leads us into eternity. And so we have a tremendous message in this gospel of the Lord Jesus. Let's take a read at 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, those that are dead in the grave, sleep here again is called death. Those that are in the graves, they will remain, they will be raised up first. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now this is great truth, and these are great facts, and we are to comfort one another with these words. What do we do when we go into a home of bereavement? Well, at any opportunity, we bring them the hope of the gospel. We introduce them to the Lord Jesus, who is the life giver, who pronounces his own resurrection and the resurrection of his people one day. That's the hope. And as we stand around an open grave to bring comfort to the people, what is the greatest comfort? Not annihilation, not to say that we are born today and depart tomorrow and that's the end of us. No, we have a living eternal soul. But we can say that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that God will raise up his people again. Comfort one another with these words. Can you do that today as a believer in the Lord Jesus? If you're not a Christian, we bring you this hope and this comfort. And one day you're going to need it. One day you're going to need this blessed assurance. It might even be sooner than we think. And then, of course, I have to ask you, do you have that hope? Could we have that hope about you, that your hope and faith is in the Lord Jesus? Now, I must close, and we come to the final part here, and that is that we're convinced by the problems that this resurrection miracle caused. You'll see in verse 48 that it created a political problem. We're going back now to John 11 and to verse 48. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. These Jews, of course, were under Roman occupancy, and if they didn't behave themselves and show due respect to the Roman authorities, they were always under threat. And so this event created such havoc that if all men should believe on this man Jesus, what will our Judaism be like? And the Romans might even take away all our privileges. And so it created a tremendous political problem. On over in chapter 12, verse 10, you'll see that problem again. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. And verse 11, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And so this miracle became a tremendous problem for the enemies of the Lord and for these Judaizers. You can't argue against one of the Lord's converts. When a person says, the Lord has saved me, I'm done with sin, I'm living a new life, that is the best argument against atheism, unbelievers, and the enemies of the Lord. And all the politics and all the bags of trick, the enemy could do nothing. And we need to pray for such a visitation to the Lord's church in these times, that the Lord will give us many Lazaruses, if I can use the plural for Lazarus. Many like Lazarus. Many who are living in the power of the gospel, a new life that testifies that Jesus is real and Jesus has truly saved their souls. And so we come to the question, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, John's gospel is all about these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Well, we can say here, he is the resurrection and the life. Is that your testimony? Have you trusted in him for eternal life? And see how this miracle that raised Lazarus from the dead agreed with his own resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, all of this drama, all of this account, the waiting period before the Lord arrived in Bethany, the comfort that the Savior gave, his own weeping outside the tomb, and then his calling forth Lazarus, and the mighty witness that that became in the community, it was all to testify that the Lord Jesus is truly the resurrection and the life. Now, do you believe that? Do you personally believe that Jesus has been raised, Lazarus is himself raised from the dead, and will come again to raise you in his likeness? And of course, there's no corruption. You will rise with a new, perfect, wonderful body. We had that noted in our Sunday school hour this morning as we went through Confession, Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 8. What a wonderful Savior we have. Let's not belittle him. Let's not refuse to love him and serve him with all of our hearts. May God take this word and take this whole chapter and make it a wonderful weapon in the arsenal of your own faith to give all glory and praise to the Savior.
But the cross could take away my sin.
author who said that your thoughts of God are too human. And certainly when it comes to the Lord Jesus, many people's thoughts of him are too low. They make him merely a man. Now, he was man. He was perfect man. He was sinless man. But he was also God. God in the flesh. And that's the whole thesis of John's gospel. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life. And so this is an essential doctrine. There is no salvation, there is no life outside the deity, the divinity of the Lord Jesus. And over and over and over in the chapters of John's gospel, there is this drama, there is this ministry, and the punchline every time is that Jesus is indeed God. And until you come to that personal conviction, well, you will never be saved. You will never have salvation. But the moment that you bow the knee, recognizing Jesus to be God, and call him Lord in your life, then you will be saved. And every convert in the New Testament recognized Jesus as Lord, Kyrios, that one who reigns as God amongst men. And so I invite you today to trust in the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, as God the Son. Believe and be saved.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.